Hey, Dirk-Jan hier. Ik heb een poosje geleden een Zoom-meeting gehad met Lindsay Patterson uit Schotland. Ze is daar slagwerkdocent en heeft een slagwerkensemble. En dat is best wel een lang interview geworden. En daarom heb ik besloten om dat interview op te delen in stukken. En het eerste gedeelte kun je nu gaan beluisteren. Sorry voor mijn Engels, dat kan beter. In ieder geval veel plezier met het luisteren naar het eerste gedeelte van de Zoom-meeting die ik had met Lindsay Patterson. Okay, Lindsay, is this how I pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah, that's correct.
Welcome to our small podcast about teaching abroad the Netherlands, and you're living in Scotland, and as far I found, you're living in Kelty. And yep. When I'm correct, that's somewhere in between Perth and Edinburgh.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Whoa, I did my homework.
The Kingdom of Fife.
Yeah. Okay. And you sent me your bio yesterday, and I was amazed because it was a quite big one. I had to do a lot of reading, and but I found out you already started playing when you were 12 in a local pipe band.
Yes.
And I think a pipe band is something typical Scottish, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Although I think it's becoming more and more common in the sort of American countries and Canada as well. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a big following of pipe bands, and a lot of pipe bands come over for the World Championships, usually in August, from these countries. So it does seem to be growing, but I think primarily Scottish.
Yeah, I think it's worldwide known, but it's originally from Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah.
The yes. Tradition. Yeah. And then I read just 1 year later, you became world's best female pipe drummer. How did you do that in only 1 year?
I have no idea. Lots of practice.
Yeah.
Lots of rudiment practice. I've done nothing but practice rudiments. Even sitting at the dinner table, you know, with your fork and knife, just, mm-hmm. you know, keeping going. As I say, mainly rudiments, because if you don't have your rudiments, then it's a lot harder to play the pieces in pipe band, because everything is based around all the rudiments that we learn.
Mm-hmm. But I guess that's the basic for every drummer, to know your rudiments.
I would say so.
Pipe drumming, rudimental drumming, or drum set player, or a marimba player, you need to
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I keep getting people, the children that I teach that like to specialise in the tuned percussion side, they keep saying to me, well, why do we need to do rudiments? But then you pull out a piece, I've got a good piece that I like called Rudimental Ragtime, and mm-hmm. it's full of double strokes, and you know, then you're like, well, see, if you'd actually done your rudiments, you would be able to play this no problem. So that's how I managed to tie it in, to let the tuned players realize that rudiments are everything.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, great. And when you reached that in such a short time of period to become the best female drummer, you must have had a big motivator somewhere. Is your mom or dad musical involved, or you had a great teacher who
I did have a great teacher. Yeah. I had a great teacher first of all when I first started in the pipe band, but my folks are quite musical as well. My mum was an accordion player mm-hmm. when she was younger, so, and it was just last week actually that I found all her old certificates. So I didn't actually realise how good she was until I had seen all these certificates.
Mm-hmm.
She was very encouraging. She you know, she used to just let me tap away. And I think the first breakthrough, and she was almost as happy as I was when I managed to get the drum roll, because I'd been practicing it for ages and ages, mm-hmm. weeks and weeks, maybe even months. Because in the pipe band, they start off with your double strokes. You just have to start off slow and then build it into a roll. Mm-hmm. Whereas in schools just now, sometimes, you know, you just teach them to buzz. Mm-hmm. There was no way that I was getting to just do it straight from a buzz. I had to go straight from double strokes, start off slowly, build up, and then go into the roll and then come back out of it. And that took me ages. That was the hardest thing ever. And when I finally got it, and it was my mum, she was like, oh, you've got it, I can hear it, it's getting so much better. And then that kind of motivated me more to do stuff as well.
That's quite an interesting subject already, because you just told that you learned the role from double strokes.
Yeah.
But I had a discussion in the last podcast with my colleague about this, because we had like a subject about roles and double strokes. But you just told me you have to learn the double stroke first and then go into buzzes. But mm-hmm. what I know about pipe drumming, and correct me if I'm wrong, most of the roles are played like buzz roles.
They are.
Why should you learn an open role then?
More and more now, pupils can be taught straight with the buzz role. But the original way when I first learned was start off slow with your double strokes, get them faster, and obviously get the double with your finger to get the bounce, and then you press, and then you come back out of it back to the slow double strokes. And that was the way that you want to get your
in my opinion rhythm. That's the most important thing as well, to learn to play the double strokes first, and then if you're able to play them, you can buzz always. But the other way around is much harder, I guess.
Yeah. Although I am going to admit that, what nowadays children want to see results quite quickly, and they want to do a role that I even now teach just from a buzz. But I still try to say, this is the way that I learned, and this is the way that we should do it, but this is your quick result for a role.
Yeah.
So they'll try and do it both ways, but nowadays they just want to have that. They just want to do the role. So it does have its advantages of doing it just straight from, showing them how to buzz.
So you're working with a role like a quick result and a long-term goals.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. So, and then you went to high school, and I'm just curious about what's it like to be like a musician in the UK or in Scotland, and the first question it came up in my mind is like, what do kids need to do to come in contact with a musical instrument in Scotland? Are they do they automatically come in contact with it through school, or do they have to take action themselves?
Every school has some sort of music that they teach, but if the children want to learn a specific instrument, then they have to apply. They have to speak to their mum, because we charge fees over here in a lot of authorities. So they have to ask their parents' permission, and then the parents will apply for them to get a space with the instructor. There is classroom music, but not everybody then decides that they want to take up a specialist instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to apply for it here. Primary, more so speaking for my authority, in high school, we have instructors visit each high school. And if children want to have instrumental music lessons with us, that is when the parents have to apply. And then we do a sort of a testing thing to make sure that they're compatible, because there's no point somebody wanting to play drums when they might be more suited to clarinet or trumpet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really all depends on numbers as well. If there's a big demand for the uptake of an instrument, sometimes because we're only in schools for a limited time, we have waiting lists as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, everybody can gain access to instrumental music here, but it's just hard with the time constraints to be able to take everybody on. Although we do try, we definitely do try to take everybody.
Okay, so if I understand well, teachers are traveling around with different high schools and do their lessons in school.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah.
Every school does have their own classroom music teachers that teach the curriculum and touch a wee bit on like keyboard, and they do a little bit of all the instruments. But if then a pupil wants to specialise, that's when they would then apply to the specialist music instructor that travels around the schools.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's a whole different system than we use here in the Netherlands, but it's interesting because it's like a bit like what I know about how music teaching is going on in the United States.
Yeah.
And how about music lessons in elementary school?
There's some provision. Again, it's just down to time constraints and restrictions. We don't have enough instructors to be able to go to every single primary. It's primary schools that we call them.
Primary
over here.
School, yeah.
So we do have instructors that go into primary schools. And me and a couple of my percussion colleagues, we go into some primary schools. And that's only for percussion. That's only just been quite a recent thing, and we found
it.
It's reasonably new, a few years old. Because it used to be that percussion, you would start if you wanted lessons. It would be from first year in high school, and you can apply then. But me being me, we were thinking because we have a regional band that's filled with primary pupils, but we had no percussionists of that primary level.
Yeah.
I then started getting on to the boss saying, well, you know, can we go into some primary schools so that we can have percussion sections at that level as well? He managed to work around it, and we've been in, and we now have about 7 or 8 in the percussion section of the junior brass band.
Okay,
so
that's
it works
cool.
out well. Yeah. And we also have a junior percussion ensemble as well of primary.
So you have results of going to primary school already.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then how many years ago did you started going to primary schools?
Oh, maybe about 3 or 4.
Okay.
Maybe not even as long as that. So it's still very new. The likes of brass and woodwind and some guitar, they've been in primary schools a bit longer than what percussion has. So it's a relatively new thing for percussion in primary schools, but it seems to be working. And it's actually having a good knock-on effect for the rest of the bands as well, because they're progressing. They're starting off at this junior stage, but when they're coming up into the senior orchestras, they've already got quite a bit of years of experience
playing
at the junior level as well. Same with the transition between junior percussion ensemble and senior percussion ensemble. They know what to expect.
So great achievements so far.
Yeah.
In primary school, and in the UK, what age are kids going to high school?
They start high school at 12.
Okay, that's about the same. Like
they go into S1, so secondary one at 12 years old.
Yeah.
But teaching in primary schools, we usually teach from P5, which is about 10 years old, up to P7. So it's the sort of more senior juniors.
10 years old is like a relative good age to start with music education.
Yeah. We do take the odd sort of like primary 4. But if they're really, really keen and we have a space on the timetable that we need to fill and there's a primary 4 really wanting to go, we're like, right, okay, we'll take you on. And that's been successful as well, but they are just a little bit younger and it is a wee bit more tricky just to get them to concentrate that wee bit better. So we have found it from P5
and upwards. What's just a little bit younger, like 9 or 8?
Yes, yeah.
Because we intend to start at like 8 years old with kids, but the last couple of years I'm getting requests from parents. Yeah, my son is really talented and he's already 6 years old and he wants to start it learning percussion. And I was like, oh, what do I need to do with a 6 years old?
I mean, I think it's very hard because
especially
for the younger ones in their 6. They want to play the drums. You say percussion, but the thing that kind of attracts from over here anyway that attracts them to it is the drums and like, oh, I really want to be a rock star and kind of thing. But some of the wee ones, their feet can't even touch the pedals.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. And then you can have everything as low as it can possibly go. and it's still a bit of a struggle. So yeah, that's why we kind of try and stay clear of the younger ones, just to let them grow a wee bit as well. We have made exceptions in the past, but not through the schools. I think some of my colleagues have private pupils that are a bit younger.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's more like playing games with those kids than be serious about learning some grooves or some rhythms.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're done with primary school and you're going into high school. And in a high school, it's normally that there's a lot of activity with music, because I read you've did like in played in several school bands, orchestras, brass bands, and all kind of stuff, but all integrated in high school.
Yes, yes, it all started when I went to high school. We had our classroom music. And then I was like, I really want to play the drums. Mm-hmm. So the way it all started was there was a lunchtime drum club when I was in first year at high school. And I thought, well, I'd be as well going along to that because I want to play the drums.
A lunchtime drum club.
Yes. Okay. So that's how it started. And that's how I learned to play the basic rock beat. And it just all stemmed from there. I'd already been playing in the pipe band for a little while, so I had the rudiments behind me. But once I'd got that basic rock beat, that was me hooked completely. I was like, I need to. And I was in the music classroom every morning at break and every lunchtime practicing. Even just if I just had my drum pad, I would just be practicing.
Yeah.
So my friends were like, oh, you're a bit of a geek. I'm lucky that I'm now actually doing the job that I want to do and that I love doing. So the practice, the hard work when I was younger has definitely paid off.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But so in high school, there are a lot of different kind of bands and teachers are traveling around to do private lessons with students also on high schools.
Yeah.
It's the same idea like in the primary schools.
Yeah, it's not private lessons that we do in schools. The music service, the instrumental music services are part of our councils, our local authorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually employed full time by Perth and Kinross Council, and I travel around the schools within the Perth and Kinross area to deliver lessons. So the council I actually work for the local council. So I'm not freelancing in that way. I do have some private pupils and do gigs and stuff. That's my sort of freelance side of things. But very, very much a lot of it with the percussion ensembles is a council run thing as well. So it's great because they've been very supportive because there was no percussion ensemble before I started the job as well. So.
Dat was hem alweer, het eerste gedeelte van mijn Zoom-meeting met Lindsay Patterson. Vond je het leuk? Laat het ons dan even weten via overmuziekles@gmail.com. En ik spreek je weer tijdens de volgende editie van onze podcast. Tot dan!